in the Austro-Hungarian Empire took on also a slightly different coloration. There were people who called themselves Neolog, which meant like new law, new Torah. They were not as extremely reform as the reform was in Germany, but they deviated from halachic standards. They deviated from traditional Judaism. And you also had a group that was extremely reform, that was as extreme reform as the reformers in Germany were, and who followed in their footsteps. An interesting thing, side comment, is the fact that the Austro-Hungarian Empire, through the emperor, aided the Orthodox over the Reform, because, as I mentioned, they were staunchly Roman Catholic, and they looked at the Protestants as being heretics, and therefore they, in their own way, sympathized with the traditional Orthodox viewpoint as far as these matters were concerned. And therefore, whereas in Germany the entire culture and the entire government and everything spoke against Orthodoxy, in the Austro-Hungarian Empire that was not true. And power of the Orthodox was much more strongly based and able to withstand the pressures of the time, which they were, found it much more difficult to do in Germany. I mentioned to you that the reform in Germany really had no opposition in Germany until the time of Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, and that Rabbi Hirsch's method of overcoming reform was, so to speak, to give to Orthodox Jews all the benefits, quote-unquote, of being westernized without compromising any of their religion. That was his method of counteracting reform. So in effect, in Germany from 1855 probably onward until the Second World War, one could be a doctor, a lawyer, one could be anything, and be strictly 100% observant and not have any conscience qualms and not have to develop any philosophy about it. That was the great contribution of Hirsch, is that he really defanged reform. He took all the advantages of being reform and he gave it to being Orthodox without having to compromise one iota, without having to assimilate, without having to convert, without having to do any of the banal things that the Reformed movement did in Germany. In Eastern Europe, when I discussed with you with the Haskalah was basically opposed. It was not a question of, even though the Haskalah had a great influence, as I mentioned to you last week, it had an influence even on the yeshivas and on the rabbis, on everyone. But the basic method of counteracting reform was out and out, of counteracting Haskalah, was out and out open hostility. And it was a bitter struggle, the end of which is still not here, because the struggle has been carried over to Israel. And I think one really has to see the events that go on now in Israel in the struggle between traditional Jewry and its opponents in the light of the fact that this is 150 years old, and that a lot of things have happened, and therefore we pray that the matter can be settled and that everybody will live with each other in peace, etc. But if you review the past 130 years of Jewish history, it's hardly likely that the matter is going to be solved in the foreseeable future on a harmonious basis. It's just not in the cards, because that was the struggle in Poland and Lithuania and Russia. That struggle still continues today. So that was an out-and-out struggle. Now, in the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the struggle took on a different note, and it took on a different note because of the greatness and the personality of one person. That person is Rabbi Moses Sofer, Rabbi Moses Schreiber, the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer was from Frankfurt on Main. He was a disciple of the great Rabbi Nosson Adler, who was one of the leading rabbis in Frankfurt, and who was also a leading Kabbalist. and who because